SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Weekend here that sets us up for pre-Breeders' Cup excitement 2 weeks from today, which that alone is a little, it's a little daunting knowing how much we look forward to it and how much is going to go into it starting early next week with pre-entries. And there's still some decisions, obviously, that are pending. But the one that came out yesterday with interesting trickle-down effect, Omaha Beach. Yeah, the decision to contest the Dirt Mile, which up until yesterday, felt like the outsider. It felt like the race that was offering the least intrigue for Omaha Beach. But it also might be the least, might be the most practical, the least taxing. We'll talk to Jay Pribman later, and we'll get Jay's take. Jay is on site at Santa Anita, and there's some important works, a lot of works already this morning. We'll talk to Mike Welch later. Mike zipped up to Louisville yesterday, and so he'll give us the latest. Covfefe early this morning, and many more, and probably some subsequently. And we'll actually get a bunch of the division updates. The only ones that we're going to be lacking by the time we get through today is from Marcus Hirsch and Steve Anderson. Also, Brad. I got to get to Brad Free for the distaff next week early. But the distaff has been seemingly the most sedate in terms of field movement and what we know and expect. But Jay Pribman, Dave Grenick, top of hour two. Empire Showcase Day tomorrow, and Dave, of course, tracking filly and mare turf participants and the juvenile, as he always does. Jay with juvenile fillies and classic conversation later. Mike Welch, the sprint. And after the first break, Marty McGee will do some Keeneland as they move toward the end of the fall campaign here. Yesterday, we'll talk in a minute. Actually, we might save it. Marceau's win for the amazing three diamonds, the Wyckoffs, and it's not just limited to the Wyckoffs. When we look to the prowess of Mike Maker, it's really a remarkable string of successes, of stake wins, and horses that are plucked and there's a formula. In fact, we've talked to Jordan Wyckoff about it. The higher priced claimers, 50,000, 62,500, 75,000, that ilk. Horses that are just sort of in between. They clear allowance conditions and they're just borderline almost stake horses. Mike Maker's record with these types is unbelievable. Marzo yesterday in that Sycamore. We'll talk with Marty about it later today. Of course, the Raven Run tomorrow, the Valley View, lots of other nice supporting racing in and around the stake features at Keeneland. I didn't look at Sunday, but I'm sure Marty has. Marty also, of course, the Juvenile Turf Sprint is Marty's race as well to go with the Filly and Mare Sprint. So we'll get a good seven races, seven out of the 14 get some advance, continue to get some advance work. And of course, Nicole Russo yesterday with the turf sprint, Mary Rampolini with the dirt mile, and, you know, fairly surprising, the addition of Omaha Beach to the dirt mile. I don't know. We'll let's see what Jay thinks later. And we've got a lot of Far Hills conversation today as well. Sean Clancy is going to join us, get a chance to talk to Sean. He's got runners, jumpers on the card, and we'll also get some handicapping in with Tom Herman. And Tom, it occurs to me to ask Tom about being sort of put out of business with the Parimutuel reaching Far Hills, because Tom was, for a long time, has been one of the bookmakers on the hill that has the chalkboard and you know, it's sort of circle of friends bookmaking that went on for years at Far Hills and elsewhere, but particularly at Far Hills. So Tom has been handicapping the steeplechase races at Derby Trail. He writes up his suggestions, and so we'll flesh those out, and particularly with those that want to play the cross-country pick five, the fourth, fifth, and sixth from Far Hills. And once the card was drawn on Wednesday in New York, they ended up switching things up a tiny bit by utilizing two races in a row in New York, as opposed to what they originally thought, that they would bookend, that they would do a race from Belmont to start the sequence. Instead, they're going to use the 9th and the 10th. So the 4th, 5th, and 6th at Far Hills, culminating with the Grand National, and including that flat race as well, and the Foxbrook. The 9th and the 10th are the Ticonderoga, where certainly 55 from Chad Brown is going to be leaned on heavily, and then the Empire Distaff as the anchor leg in the pick five. So we'll get Tom's and Sean's ideas, particularly about the three races that are included in the pick five. Speaking of pick fives, and before we flesh out the rest of the morning, got to mention the way things turned out at Gulfstream West yesterday. Ended up very formful for the most part, and $1,100 and change, they bet their lungs. And with Naira having to cancel because of the nasty weather, the focus, certainly for that part of the, you know, middle afternoon, the first leg went off at 2:39. The money poured in. And the pool ended up exceeding, 1.2? Yeah, 1,253,000. And I sent out the Marshall Graham percentages. Marshall basically showing how the $163,000 carryover plus the new money basically negated the takeout. So $1,109 for winners that paid $940. And certainly Aguas Coloradas, you know, a horse that, and it was one of about three or four. Don't Get Cozy, the Kazan Philly under Paco Lopez for Scott Becker, paid $660. Pretty sure everybody had that on. Island Commish, people with small tickets, you probably singled Island Commish for Safi Joseph. Made a lot of sense. Then Yvonne Belsour for Bruno Schickendanz with Dropkick, who, again, was, you know, very much a pretty obvious player. Actually went off favorite and paid $640. That got you to the nightcap, and you had a wire-to-wire winner, and this was not the easiest horse to come up with. And if you recall, I mentioned that this maiden claimer nightcap felt like the slippery race. So you needed to go deep to hit Follow Me Mom, the Corfu Philly, and Everett Green sent out Follow Me Mom, a little under 7-1, 1580. So nice payout, $1,100, and that gets well distributed, I think, to those that played. And I hope those that dove in did well. The rest of the morning, what else? What else we got? Doug O'Neill. Been promising Doug, and he had a couple of meeting things that he had to handle midweek. So he said, how about Friday? I wasn't going to miss an opportunity. And we'll certainly hit on Doug's horses, including the ones headed to Breeders' Cup, and all the successes he's had over the last several weeks. I mean, O'Neill's sent out a bunch of winners and stake winners. But one of the real motivations, you know, was to publicly appreciate what Doug and Oscar De La Torre have been doing and their consistent pro-industry rallies, you know, going back to Del Mar and continuing particularly on Saturdays. But they've really, you know, had a steady drumbeat of positive energy. And if, as Hammer says, and we'll talk to Hammer later, karma is king, well, the good karma has certainly come to the O'Neill barn in terms of their results. Missing somebody here on this. Oh, Gus. Gus is going to visit late in the show in hour three. Gus Alonso. Little pre, you know, some pre Breeders' Cup thoughts that are kicking around in Gus's head. Plus, he's got a couple of Keeneland Friday plays. And, well, Scully and DeRosa, we'll get a couple of plays from Scully and DeRosa too. Got to mention from last night at Presque Isle, great job by Dick. Dick delivers that $16 winner last night, and in the HBPA, that was all right. Good job by Dick, and that was, I sent that out, and then, you know, was watching, and I tried to get that price of oh my gosh, now I'm looking for my where's the chart? No chart. Missing the chart. I tried to get that the horse we talked about yesterday, 40-1, and was sitting in nice position, and ended up fourth. Ran well, ran fine, but got swamped by the favorite late. So it was fun. I'm still glad I played, but Dick. Delivering for everybody yesterday. A couple of quick ones as we go to the break. I do not want to let this slip by. At Long Shadows in Cambridge, Long Shadows Farm, those of you in the area, the Supapalooza is back for the second fall tomorrow, 2 o'clock. All kinds of fun on the farm, soup cook-off, and it all benefits Long Shadows and Act Naturally. And it's a fun afternoon. Dr. Brown Lane on the way into Cambridge. More when we come back. Marty McGee starts us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com, using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseville's.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseville's.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseville's.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseville's.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You can hear in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not supposed to find a pine on it. Say, I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
We're back at the races, coming up toward 20 in. Weekend preview here on Sirius XM. And Marty McGee. Another nice weekend, Mart.
Keenly. What's going on, Bick?
Wow, I tell you, it's really been fun. I've enjoyed Keeneland and have kind of been, you know, tied on from opening day and have really enjoyed it.
Well, you called that Brendan Walsh shot. He's second in the standings right now, I think. And I've had a good meet too. Hermes has been in Fuego and. the dangerous thing is tomorrow. I love some horses early on the card, so I'm going to put it out there and yeah, all that. So try and keep it going. You know, all of us as horse players are streaky. There's a lot of times when you're going so bad, you feel like you couldn't pick the winner of a two horse race with a head start. But sometimes they just leap off the page, and yeah, I've had a pretty good stand thus far.
Well, and if we do a little recapping, and of course, you know, so much of this meet, the Fall Stars, and so much impact toward Breeders' Cup, and we're going to talk about your two Breeders' Cup divisions, Filly and Mare Sprint, as well as the Juvenile Turf Sprint. And I guess we could start, well, the Juvenile, trying to incorporate some of last weekend's results, but they really don't overlap your particular category. Any quick thoughts on what we saw last week all the way through to yesterday?
Well, last week we had the QE2. That was our feature, and a guy named Chad won that with one of his three starters. And we got the exact same scenario today where we have three-year-old fillies going long on the turf and a graded stake, and Chad has three starters in there, and they all look pretty live. But I get my days mixed up here. I know we started four stakes in a row yesterday with the Sycamore, won by a guy named Mike Maker, who you wonder how a horse like his ever pays $31 under those type of circumstances. But this, again, was another horse who he claimed on behalf of a client for a high number, this one being $62,500. And Marzo went right to the winner's circle in the second start for Maker yesterday. So I got a little lucky, threw him in on some of my horizontals and hit the late pick four, so that was nice. We had an incident here yesterday. We were the race before that. We had a 2-5 shot in the allowance race, only because one of the other contenders was a late scratch of the gate. But yeah, it's been some real interesting racing around here, Steve.
A couple of results that I want to bring up, and that include, you mentioned Cambier Park's win. Although I think Castle Lady ran very well, and Castle Lady to be watched going forward as well, wherever the import turns up. And I thought there was somebody. There it is, Grey Magician, and Grey Magician came up with Mary Rampolini talking about the Dirt Mile, and I guess Peter Miller is going forward. But that that race ended up being productive, that $100,000 optional claimer, which was, I think, last Friday.
Yeah, I don't know what he beat in there, and he'll be one of the longer shots in the Dirt Mile. We've also got a couple of other horses from here, at least Mr. Money and Dale's horse, Mr. Freeze. They're both going to run in the Dirt Mile. That looks like it's going to be one of the better, more interesting Breeders' Cup races.
Well, now with Omaha Beach getting involved, which comes as a mild surprise of the three considerations that felt like the one with the least, you know, with the least impact, you know, in terms of his own legacy. Oleksandra, have you heard anything more from the Oleksandra camp about the supplement potential?
Yes, she's a no. I mean, Barry, I actually called Barry Irwin on my way home that night, and he goes, "I'm not going to do that." So he said he told me a story about supplementing the Breeders' Cup, and it went something like this. It was many years ago, and I bit the bullet on the $200,000 or whatever, and he said Pat Day wrote it and just kind of gave it a warm-up. And he came back and said, "Boy, we're going to be tough next time." And Barry's like, "Well, here's the point." The point was that, you know,
that's great. We'll be tough next time.
Yeah, next time. No, not really. So.
Yeah, that's funny. I love it.
I was going to talk to, you brought up one of the other horses. I forget what it was. All right, keep going, Vic.
Fact-finding, Charlie Lepresti's resurgence continues. That was a nice performance, and plenty of other maiden efforts. We're going to hear from some of those horses undoubtedly at Churchill in November, that part of it. Hotshot Anna, obviously without Breeders' Cup nomination, she had her own little, I guess, her late season success, and she won that race that she scratched for the allowance on Sunday as well, the Robertsons.
And Marcus Hirsch, my colleague, had some news on her. She was supposed to sell at Faith and Tipton here early next month, but he has scratched her out of that sale,
Hugh
Roberts has, and she's going to run next year. I guess she's 6 turn and 7, right? So
that's right. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, she's been awful tough in that niche, the turf / synthetic sprint. She's gotten real good at those. 2-time winner of the Masters.
Exactly. The 2-year-old yesterday, Complexifier, obviously was going to be very tough to beat and proved out. What's Brian Lynch doing with this colt?
I don't know. I guess it would be it'd be too quick back to come back to the street sense on opening day at Churchill, October 27th. A lot of these 2-year-olds that you've seen win early here at the meet, or even at September meet at Churchill, that's a logical spot. That's going to be a good race on the first Stars of Tomorrow card on opening day there. I don't know if Brian would save him for the Kentucky Jockey Club, which this year I think is on November 28th. 8th or so, maybe November 30th. Whatever that last Saturday is. So, I mean, that horse looked good. My best bet was the Amos horse that Jose Ortiz had scratched at the gate. So I don't know what the rest of that story is. But once that horse was gone, then he was Complexifier was facing that Wesley Ward filly. He's real fast. He won here last spring and just pretty much easily overtook her when Leperu set her down. Leperu, by the way, rode a real nice maiden winner for my brother here on Wednesday on the turf. That filly looked good. I was a little disappointed in the buyer that came back, which was just 69. Her name is Past the Plate, but her late move was really eye-catching. And, Julian told me, I said, look, her buyer only came back 69. He goes, I don't care. I mean, he really liked that filly for my brother.
Nice. Nice. I played the pick four and started there. And that Emirati was a disappointment, boy. A horse that I think everybody leaned on. And David Falk shows up with that Louder Than Bombs. That was a tough horse to have. I went back and looked, actually, Martin. I was like, did I miss something here? And I couldn't figure out what I missed.
Well, you know what? I bet that horse last time, him and a stablemate named Renaissance Frolic, the one that
sure.
It was on the Covfefe undercard that Saturday. But I used them both that day, and I was kicking myself after he won this race because I don't like to get divorced that quickly sometimes from horses, especially when they're 19-1.
I love it. Mart, let's go through today and tomorrow and some ideas about these two cards before we talk about your two Breeders' Cup divisions.
Today we have a terrific running of the Valley View. It goes as race 9, 5:30 Eastern. As I mentioned, Chad has three fillies in there in Blowout, Catch a Bid, and Turf War. I'm actually on the Catman horse, Winter Sunset. I think there's going to be a lot of speed in here. Blowout won't necessarily have a breather up top with Johnny B. So I'm looking for a mild upset here with the Darby Dan connections and Winter Sunset out of a terrific mare and has that damn side pedigree going for. So I'm looking for them to win it with the four horse.
Anything else clever today?
No, but do you want to start on tomorrow? Because I like bang, bang, bang. I like three horses right in a row tomorrow.
Let's go. Let's hear it. Everybody get your pencils ready.
As Jack Salter used to say, ladies and gentlemen, get your pens and pencils ready. Here are the chains. race one, Sterling Miss for Amos. Draws outside as a speed. She'll probably be 2-1 or less. But the next race, I really like Colonel Pike for Tommy Vance. Comes out of a legit 7,500. A lot of these horses are out of beaten races, and I think are quite vulnerable. They got 10-1 on him on the morning line. I don't think so, but maybe half of that. And then the horse who desperately needed her last race was Ultimate Mo for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, is going to improve big time off that race. So that's 5 in the first tomorrow, 6 in the second, and 7 in the third.
Easy to remember. 5, 6, 7, the Marty McGee natural pick three.
The hat trick to open it up.
I love it. I love it. What about some of the action late, including that Raven Run?
Man, what a tough race they came up. I think it's really interesting that Baltus's people bought into, what's her name here? I got it right here, Horologist. So she's my pick as the outside speed. And it's really a tough race with Indian Pride, the unknown for Chad. She got a 90 buyer first out. And he was thinking about running her in a, for an A other than here as part of the shipment here, but he decided to try to stake with her. He's got her and Royal Charlotte, and as I wrote about, it's in the Friday racing form about Restless Rider. Actually, it was in yesterday's. Her comeback for Kenny McPeak. So a terrific renewal of this race here tomorrow at Keeneland.
You've also got a couple the horses worth noting, I thought. Oxy Lady, a big price, returns for Jack Sisterson, has been gone, 6 months plus? Has been a little bit of an enigmatic filly. You mentioned Restless Rider, Horologist, of course, John Mazza. We talked when this filly burst on the scene at Monmouth late in the summer. How about Ron Ellis? You got nothing to say about First Star?
I called him yesterday. He was taking a PJ, as he said, across the country, a private jet, and he likes her. He thinks maybe they're rushing her a little bit. And Ron always tends to play things conservatively, but he says she deserves a chance at this. 3-year-olds only, one of the last opportunities of the year. I guess he would run her back in the La Brea if she would run big in here. But, he likes her a lot. He said he surprised her the first time out, obviously, when she paid $55 or whatever. And I guess she's 10-1 or so. I haven't seen the morning line. But
6-1. 6-1.
Yeah. But one of my the next true superstar in this game, I believe, is Drayden Van Dyke, and he has the mount.
Well, and has come back well from another injury. That's the one thing that could interfere with for him is he has, you know, he's had a tendency early on here to get hurt, and if he can stay off the ground, he'll. You're right. I mean, he's got all the tools are there. First Star is absolutely, you know, right within range of the favorites, and is absolutely the interesting player. And how often have we seen these West Coast horses, Mark, come, you know, come to town, come east, New York, or Kentucky, et cetera. And we're going to talk to Doug O'Neill, in fact, in a little bit. And you know, Doug has made a habit of it here of late. So, excellent. Two nice cards again. And how do we wrap up, actually?
Well, you want to talk about these Breeders' Cup races real quick? I mean,
yeah, go with that. Absolutely. There's no other. I don't care about the other. Yeah, go ahead. Let's dive in. Yeah. Start with the filly and mare sprint.
There's not. Okay, you want to start with the filly and mare? I had the juvenile. Let's do the juvenile turf sprint first. Wesley, on our line here that you can pick up in the Friday editions of the forum, has all the grids for the prospective starters. And as we know, the pre-entries are coming up Monday. So, but as far as the juvenile turf sprint part of the Friday card, Wesley Ward has three of the top five favorites as listed here. Four-Wheel Drive, who won the Futurity, Kamari, the filly, who won the Indian Summer here at Keeneland, and then Cambria, who is still unbeaten in three starts, another filly who won the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Fillies back in September. So those are three of his. The IRB has given me four names for this race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. The leading name is A. Ali, trained by Simon Crisford. So it looks like, I would guess, Steve, that we will have an oversubscribed field here. I don't know if they will run 12 or 14. I should find that out because of, you know, they're not coming down the hill. They're just going the 5/8, which is a major factor in how this lineup shapes up, actually. So pretty deep and interesting renewal with Four-Wheel Drive 2-1, Kamari 3-1 on the odds as made by David Aragona of DRF.
Some other domestic players that of note, anybody that you've already taken an interest in?
Well, Chimney Rock closed real hard, as did Kamari in the Indian Summer here, and he's actually listed at 10-1 by Aragona. Todd has a couple of interesting ones in Free Wheeler, second with Futurity, and Mystic Lancelot, who ran real well to be fourth in the Indian Summer. Gary Contessa says he does want to run his Skidmore winner.
Yes, he does.
Miracle. I would think that he would get in. Peter Miller, they had been on the fence. I have a check back with them about their 23-1 winner of the Speakeasy, that being El Tigre Terrible. And they also have Bulletproof one. They were Miller was 1-2 in that race at Speakeasy. So, and we've got about six or eight other names on here. So, and invariably in a race like this, you have strangers pop up. So, I guess there'll be more than 14 on the list as when they take the pre-entries on Monday.
Very good. Kafefi worked this morning. We're going to hear from Mike Welch in the second half of the show.
Yeah, she did. I would assume that Come Dancing work today or will real soon. They are the two favorites on our line. We've got Kofefi at 5-2, Come Dancing right behind her at 3-1. So the classic three-year-old versus the older in that race. You know, by the way, last year when Shamrock Rose came out of the Raven Run to win the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint at 25-1, she was the first three-year-old ever to win the filly and mare sprint. We've had a number of horses come favored. It looks like Kobeki will be favored here too, but she was the first one to break through that. She's 25-1, but and they run the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint every year, of course, since 2007 at Monmouth Park. So Guarana is definitely Chad gave me that this week. She's definitely running in the filly and mare sprint as opposed to the distaff. You got her. You got Spice Perfection, who was just terrific in winning for Peter Miller here in the Thoroughbred Club of America. Selcourt, nice off the bench in the L.A. Woman. A Minute to Start, I'm a horse you've talked about, the Louisiana bred for Jose Camejo, and then Dawn the Destroyer worked here this morning for Karen McLaughlin. She was a late closing second at TCA, and I know that Roger Horgan, his assistant on the scene, is pretty happy with the way she's been going. So we got maybe we got 10 on the list here. Staring Gravity Empress is going to have her. The Philly Mare Spread is her second choice, as is Secret Spice. Maybe Danuska's my girl. I don't know if she's going to run or not. That's part of the Hollendorfer thing.
Exactly. That's everybody. Kafefi, Come Dancing, Spice Perfection, Guarana, Selcourt, Minute to Stardom, Lady Ninja, Dawn the Destroyer, Bellafina, Heaven Has My Nikki, Danuska's My Girl, Florida Lamar, Baffert. And as Amos firmly said, Distaff for Serengeti?
Yeah, strong lean. Is what he that's keeps what I, yeah, the word strongly, yeah. But he is going to cross enter in this race.
And Secret Spice is Distaff intended. So,
yeah.
Nice. It's a nice group. Excellent. Well, Marty, we are that much closer, and we'll be looking through pre-entered fields next week. That quick.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I'm flying out noonish next Friday, but talk to you that morning.
Absolutely, Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, Keeneland, Breeders' Cup coverage as well, and Marty handling the Juvenile Turf Sprint, and the Philly and Mare Sprint as he has for years. I've got to do some research, but received a name about the Juvenile Turf Sprint, but I'm going to look into it. I don't want to talk out of turn, as it were. Speaking of out of turn, we ended up getting a bait and switch among Clancy's. Sean's got a little bit of an issue with the phone and where he is, and so we actually are going to substitute Joe Clancy for Sean Clancy. And you'd say to yourself, well, they're not interchangeable, because Joe is also going to deliver not just some thoughts about Far Hills. He's also going to deliver some Maryland Million coverage. Terrific card at Laurel for the Maryland Million. And I think when you add in the starter handicaps, I think they are giving away $1 million tomorrow. And, you know, it's not necessarily Maryland breds. It's Maryland sires. They get preference. And we learned that the hard way a few years ago with Williams Lucky Gray. She was a Maryland bred, but not Maryland sired. So we ended up on the outside. We couldn't get into one of the Maryland Million races we were hoping to run with her. Because if it fills up with the Maryland sires, you get second priority, even if you're Maryland bred. Let's take the time out. Joe Clancy joins us. Doug O'Neill, Dave Grenig, Jay Pribman, Welch, much, much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Feeling like a frost and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. I'm calling the shots, so see you over a month.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Dave Brandick will join us right now. Joe Clancy substituting for Sean Clancy. And in fact, we're getting a two-for-one here, Joe, because I jumped at the chance when Sean offered you up as a substitute.
I love how everything works, too. I had no awareness of this until about 3 minutes ago, so let's go.
Well, the reason it's a two-for-one deal is because, as always, whenever we get to this Saturday, somebody gets to go to Far Hills and somebody has to go to Laurel. And you go to Laurel, and Sean, especially with runners for Far Hills, he comes to Jersey. So you can provide everybody with some Maryland Million coverage and really a big, full, terrific card.
Yeah, it's always a good, cool card, too. I mean, it's a shame they end up on the same day. Every once in a while, I think it's every 4 or 5 years, October has an extra Saturday, and they spread apart so you can go to both. But Laurel will be great racing. Far Hills will be great racing. And you know, that's what this time of year is all about. So you get a chance to go see some cool horses.
How about some highlights off of the Maryland Million card? It's a 12 race card. You fold in the stakes, the divisions, plus some starter handicap events as well that kind of break things up.
Well, I've had fun the last couple of years interviewing the connections of my sister Sledge, John and Sherry Banner. She's won the race, the Maryland Million Ladies, on the turf there 2 years in a row, and she's going for a third, which is really fun. I mean, Mike Trombetta trains her. She's tough. She kind of rounds into form this time of year, and it'll be interesting to see if she can pull it off. I think there's been six horses win three Maryland Million races in history. Ben's Cat is one, and I'm not sure who the other five are, but it's kind of cool to see a horse stick around and try to come back and give it a shot there. She's going to it looks tougher than it's been to me, that race, for her, but she always seems to run well in it, and she is 7-5. She's got to break from the rail and try to figure out a trip, but I think it's kind of fun.
Well, in addition to my sister Sledge, and I guess Ghoul's Night Out, the obvious major competitor in that spot. Let me take a look. Yeah, 9-5 and 7-5. There's quite a few really well matched sets in here. You go to the sprint, and here's Lewis Field for Jeff Runco. How about Lackey for Damon Dillodovico? Call Paul shows up in here.
Yeah, that could be a great stake, really.
Yeah.
It's that good a race, which is fun. I mean, and again, I love to see horses come back year after year, and Lewisfield's been, you know, and Lackey and some of the others have been just names you see year after year in Maryland, and to see them come back on Maryland Million Day makes it even more exciting. And Lewisfield, to me, every time I interview Jeff Runco, he says, you know, he's got a greatest stakes win in him somewhere, and he's just kind of run into some really good horses, and the couple times he's taken a shot at those races and not been able to get it done. But, you know, I think he's a serious horse, and, you know, and we know how tough Damon's horse is, too. He shows up and runs his best race.
I it's going to take a scratch to get him in, but Pete's play call would be, I would think, at 8-1 would be worth taking a long look at, should he be able to draw in.
Yeah, it's interesting to see some of the also eligible, and I'm under-informed, I think, is probably the better way to put it, on some of the rules, like some of the horses that are by Kentucky Stallions or by other state Stallions, but Maryland bred can get in if the field's a certain, it's not necessarily, like you see bonus points on the A's and some of that. I don't know if they get in right away if there's one scratch. I think they might need more than one, you know? But yeah, I mean, again, that's the depth of the program to see those Maryland bred horses underneath some of the Maryland sired ones that are that good too.
Yeah, and I actually go into the break. I referenced that because we had a really nice, wonderful campaigner for us, Williams Lucky Gray, and she was by Dunkirk, but she was Maryland bred, and I tried 2 years in a row, and George Ann told me, you know, tell your story walking. he said you're not getting in. There's just too many Maryland sired horses that are, you know, that you're talking long on the grass fillies and mares. No such luck. It's pretty funny. I do want to mention, I see where Jerry Robb in the distaff, Anna's Bandit coming right back, and is certainly weighted appropriately.
Yeah, out of the Charlestown race. Yeah,
yeah.
Which again can happen. I mean, it's pretty rare, but you know, I love it. I mean, I think you try to, you know, if your horse is right and every all systems are go, why not? And she's certainly going to be. I mean, if she runs back to any of those last races she's run, she'd be very tough. She's a little same thing. She's breaking from the rail and gonna have to make it work. But you know, as good as she is, I think she could be really tough.
And I'm just looking back. I wanted to see how many other Maryland Millions she's participated in. She did not run as a 2 year old. Last year she was third.
Yeah.
Crab Cakes, the wonderful Crab Cakes, and My Magician finished ahead of her.
Yeah, which that effort would be pretty good, I think, in here with Crab Cakes retired, you know. I think, and that was very similar setup. You know, she had run in the race at Charlestown the week before then as well. So yeah, fun to see. I mean, it adds another line. I mean, another thing to pay attention to, another storyline and all this, and she's knocked heads with some good. She's obviously very tough at Charlestown, but she's knocked heads with some big names too. Over that career.
Well, it's a 12 race card that has got virtually full fields. I think the only race that you got a 9-horse starter handicap as the 11th, but every other race is 10 or 12 or 14. you just. absolute deep and compelling Maryland Million Day at Laurel. Always nice, and it's going to be gorgeous after some unsettled weather this week. That gets us to Far Hills, and Joe, we're going to do a doubleheader ourselves. We've got our 2-year-old filly debuting at Belmont in the third, so we're going to go to Belmont and then cut across New York to get to Far Hills probably by about maybe by 3. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, I'd prefer to.
It can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, that's going to have to be. I got no choice because I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss the Phillies.
Oh, sure.
But we'll be there for the Grand National, and that you know, that is not to be missed. Let's start there, Joe. And I talked to Guy Torsiglieri on Tuesday. We talked to Bill Gallo on Wednesday. You look at this group, and with Nicky Henderson, Willie Mullins, and Gordon Elliott participating, it's truly international. And when you have a horse at the level of Wicklow Brave show up in the United States, it's noteworthy. And I know flat fans don't, you know, they won't necessarily connect the dots on this, but who's an equivalent coming to, you know, to the U.S. to race with a Wicklow Brave?
I'm not sure he has an equivalent, but, you know, based on what he's done on the flat and over jumps. I mean, he's a grade one winner on the flat and over jumps. He's running the Melbourne Cup. I mean, he's done everything. He came and ran in that race at Belmont, the two-mile race a couple of years ago on the flat. And, you know, is that he might be the most versatile horse anybody's ever come across. I mean, and I talked to Willie Mullins yesterday, which was, you know, fascinating. He's as impressed. He trains him, and he's impressed by him as the rest of us are, which to me is really cool. You know, I mean, they bought a horse they thought might be a nice hurdler at the sale, and he's taken them all over the world. You know, and you know, to me, he would be, you know, he's not an able, but it's kind of cool to see, and you know, an Irish based or European based horse come over and take on our horses, you know, on our turf with that reputation.
We get to bet. I mean, the beauty of the new Far Hills is that the Parimutuel makes this available for everybody, and it's a fascinating cast. And I suppose if you want to talk about the international participants first, Joe, I mean, are they going to just overpower the domestic players?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, I think last year's race, the Jury Duty one, you know, was a far weaker race than this is. I mean, I think this is, you know, the European horses were 1-2 last year, and all the way Jose was third. He was the best American. Well, you know, he's slid out of the Grade One ranks now and is running in a minor, more handicap on the card at Far Hills. So with Scorpianther, Moscato, Surprising Soul, Iranistan, this is a deeper field of American-based horses than they ran into last year. You know, that being said, I think Wicklow Brave is a better horse than Jury Duty would be in terms of what they've done before. And, you know, the $450,000 purse obviously attracts those kind of horses. It's worth enough money for them to come over. It fits in the season pretty well for them. The horses aren't, you know, it's not so late in their season that they're sort of over the top, and you know, it's a good opportunity to come here and run for real money. And it's obviously it's really not that hard to get to from, but if you're coming from England or Ireland, you fly to, you know, you fly into New York and quarantine a couple of days, and you're at Far Hills in no time. I mean, the horses that go to Nashville and some of our other meets have a little bit trickier of a journey, put it that way. I love Wicklow Brave. I think he's just class. He's in really good form. He's won his last three over Chase Fences, which really you wouldn't say was his game, but they switched him to that to kind of see if he liked it and appreciated it, the bigger, stiffer fences, and he, you know, did that as well as he did some of the hurdle stuff. I would forgive Moscato's last race at Belmont and, you know, come back to him for Jack Fisher. I think, you know, the two races he ran this spring were good enough and would put him in the mix. Scorpianther, to me, you know, same thing. His best race is good enough to be there. At 10, does he still have his best race in him at Far Hills against some of these other horses? I'm not sure. You know, Ricky Henderson's horse, Surprising Soul at Belmont, he was great. Ricky's just told me over the years that the horse needs time between races, and this is, for him, coming back a little quick, you know, based on his PPs. So, I don't know. I think as he's also not going to get a comfortable, easy lead like he got at Belmont. Going to do a little more work, but obviously a pretty talented horse, can stay all day, has run well at Far Hills before. So, you know, I think he's in the mix as well.
I happened to come across while just, you know, doing some work and looking ahead to Far Hills, came across the Twitter account of Nico de Bonville. And de Bonville, and he's all excited about coming to Far Hills to ride Brain Power. And Brain Power certainly trading. You know, I ran by Odds Checker on Wednesday to see what the betting shops, what they said about this race, and they hold Brain Power in high regard behind Wicklow Brave.
Yeah, and it's hard to get a little bit of a handle on him. I mean, he didn't finish either of his last two races, but they were this spring. And, you know, if you're going to come try to do this, you know, come in fresh and see what happens. His race at Cheltenham in December, the International Hurdle, I mean, that's a top-class race. He won that nicely, and he's rated over there. They do their handicap ratings. I mean, he's rated at a 150 over hurdles, which is not that far off Wicklow Brave. I mean, just right in behind him. You know, it's ahead of some of these other horses that are in here. And, you know, Nicky Henderson has to be respected for sure. Maybe he's a little – he would probably drift a little in the American betting because people don't know that much about him. And, you know, anybody can look and see they didn't finish either of his last two starts.
Well, I'm going to send out the link to Des Moines-Ville's blog, and he's got some insight and some conversation about the two works that that Brain Power has had preparing for this. He also came over and cleared quarantine. He speculates that Leslie Young has been looking after him for Nicky Henderson. And, you know, Leslie herself seems poised potentially for a big day. She's got a first-time North America, Rashan, as well, that I don't know if this horse is staying with her after Saturday. But Leslie's had a very good season, very quietly.
Yeah, I mean, her, when you look at 24%, that certainly, you know, would make you pay attention. I mean, their horses run well, and, you know, they don't have that many when you're compared to Jack Fisher and some of them, but they do run well. I don't know much about Rashan. I'm with you. I would assume he's going to stay. His rating over there is, you know, 146, which is a little behind some of the other ones, and maybe he's just not quite as experienced as some of them, but, you know, but a quality horse. I mean, he's winning, you know, he's winning at Ferry House. He's winning some decent races over there that would put him in this. I just don't, you know, he's got to step up his game compared to Wicklow Brave and Brain Power and some of the other jury duties, some of the others that have been at that high level all along.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of, what's your final 1, 2, 3?
I'm going to go Wicklow Brave, Moscato, Iranistan.
All right, so you do you are respecting the domestic campaigners. Let's talk about the Foxbrook, Joe, and the Foxbrook starts the Pick Five with the Naira events on the Empire Showcase card. So you got to get winners not just in the Grand National, but in the Foxbrook and in the refashioned New Jersey Hunt Cup, which is on the flat. So I want to get some picks from you here, and lo and behold, one of the great names in international training circles, Dermot Weld in here in the Foxbrook with Days Without End.
Yeah, right. It's again, to turn the page or to download your PPs and take a look and see some of the names at Far Hills is really fun. He's owned by an American. That guy, Colvin, goes by Greg Ryan, owns that horse, and I'll assume he's going to stay here as well after this, but I'm not 100% sure. But to me, anytime you see, you know, Gordon Elliott, Dermot Weld, Nicky Henderson, Willie Mullins, paying attention to American jump racing is a good thing for us.
Who do we like in the Foxbrook?
I mean, I think Snap Decision is going to be really hard to get past, and everybody has seen him now. He won his last race at Belmont. He won by 38 lengths at Saratoga. He broke his maiden at Monmouth. You know, his jockey, Willie McCarthy, says he's the best horse he's ever ridden, and, you know, don't question him. It's a little bit of a step, you know, a little bit of a tougher race than maybe he's run so far, but, you know, I think if he runs back to those other races, he's going to be very tough. I've given him a couple chances and he let me down, but Chief Justice is a very talented horse for Cyril Murphy. He kind of had a weird trip at Nashville and was fourth in behind Winston C, who went on and did some good things at Saratoga, and then was third at Belmont, and maybe that Belmont race sets him up for bigger effort today at a little bit of a price. City Dreamer from the Sean's River D stable, if he's got to run back to that Nashville form, you know, and he should be better here than he was at Belmont, just a little more stamina testing type race for him, and can kind of unfold that late run. But still think snap decisions. Just he's very good. Hadn't done anything wrong.
Well, that gets us to the Jersey Hunt Cup, the second leg of the Pick Five, and this is an unusual situation for for Far Hills. The mile and a half without any. Anything to jump over, and it makes for a very unusual set of horses to some degree, including the presence of Lunaire, who gets to run under Jack Fisher's care, and of course, Lunaire, very familiar to people that bet the New York circuit and beyond, Tom Albertrani for Woods Lane, and kind of neat to see Lunaire. And I'm a fan of his at Belmont and Saratoga. I don't know why I wouldn't be a fan here as well. And Mitchell gets a turn on him.
Yeah. Jack trains steeplechasers for Woods Lane, and I know he's been trying to convince them to try Lunaire over hurdles for a couple of years now. So I think that might be the long-range plan, but he does find a nice spot here to his flat form, like you said, is that good. And the one thing Jack goes back to is he ran, and you'd have to dive in. I'm not sure I can find it while we're on them. Oh, yeah, it was November 17th last year. He ran in the same flat race with snap decision. And that's kind of the point where Jack was making with them, that he could be a nice hurdle prospect. But, in here, I think he really figures, a mile and a half on the turf with the hills and things like that are going to help, a horse like that who's, I think, probably the mile and eighth grass races and things in New York, he's not quite fast enough, or as fast as he used to be, where the longer distance might help. That being said, it's a pretty tough spot. You've got some horses with stakes for him on the flat here. You've got Aldous Snow is 10 years old, but he's won $750,000 in most of it in Canada, but pretty serious horse with some graded form back there. Arnaud Delacour, which is fun to see him come in with a horse. Surprise Twist, who's the favorite. He ran into Japan Turf Cup at Laurel last time out, and I think he'll be very tough. Renown has graded stakes. Fun race.
Well, Lunaire, for those that don't recall, this is Sadler's Joy's brother. And so maybe Lunaire is going to take the Mr. Hot Stuff route. To live up to the family billing as a horse that was always supposed to be a grade one type. Maybe this will be a path of less resistance for Lunaire. So your top three in here, Joe?
Top three in here. I got to go Surprise Twist, Douglas Road, Lunaire.
Very good.
It's pretty wide open. I think you'd have to, if you're trying to play pick fives, that might be where you try to spread a little bit, because it's pretty wide open race. There wouldn't be, Renown's platform's good enough. His best platform is good enough. It's been a little while, but it's there. And Surprise Twist is in good form. Douglas Road won a training flat race at Chouan, which to me might give him a little bit of an edge on some of the other flat horses, meaning he's done this steeplechase course thing before, where Lunaire hasn't, and it just might be a little bit of an advantage for a horse like that.
Joe, before we say thank you. Anything else? The P-Pack, of course, Prava Laguna figures very, very tough, probably the shortest price of any horse on the card. Any other spots that we should know about? You got a price play anywhere else on the day?
I would think I'm with you with Prava Laguna. I think Willie Mullins would have run her in the Grand National if he could have sorted out his jockey situation. But here's the price play. I'm not sure. We'll find out how good he is. But the Galway Kid in the second. It looks like it's his first start ever. But he's an Irish horse who won an Irish point-to-point that would not show up in American past performances. It's sort of like a practice race, for lack of a better term. And he was purchased by Jonathan Shepherd for Hudson River Farm. And I think they think a lot of them. The race is restricted to just four-year-olds, and he's taken on some horses who've won, you know, Cracker Factory's won four races. Lethal Steps for Gordon Elliott looks like a really nice horse. So, but they're going to be short prices. So if maybe Galway Kid is a little bit of a value in the second.
Look at you. Very clever. 15-1. And you heard it here, folks. Everybody will say, I can't take a first-time starter in this spot. And that's like when they used to have, what, the Aiken Trials and
correct.
What the races that they used to run at Saratoga the before the meet. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the open house and the weight
trials. Exactly. Kind of sneaking them in. Well, Joe, I really appreciate it. I can't say I'll see you tomorrow. We'll see Sean, but we'll be watching your feed from Laurel for Maryland Million Day, and appreciate the analysis on the Far Hill card. And by the way, at the website at thisishorseracing.com, you've got this written up.
Yes, we've done a couple of features already. I did a thing on Wicklow Brave and talked to Jack Fisher about all his runners. He runs 14 horses on the card, which is crazy. And then we'll do picks here later today at some point. We got to get that finished, basically. And where Sean, Tom Law, and I try to find some winners. And then, you know, we might need some help on that pick five. I think we got it at Belmont, right? 55 looks like one we could single, right? And then I haven't looked at the other one, so we'll see.
Excellent. Well, we're going to get some help on the New York side of things because Dave Grenick is going to join us. So we'll get some opinions from Dave about the distaff and the Ticonderoga, where, as you say, you know, obviously 55, the horse to beat. I thought War Canoe was probably a consideration, maybe a C in there, you know, as a backup player.
Great.
All right. Joe Clancy, everybody, and Joe does along with Tom Law and Sean, great work. We're going to, I guess, we'll talk to Sean for a recap. I guess next week, especially if Sean wins. There's nothing more animated than a Sean Clancy win at Far Hills. That gets the crowd going. I've got a couple. I put up a picture this morning with Sean. I think I did. All right.